Welcome to Yarning Disability, the FPDN podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Namok Jr. I'm a proud St. Paul Badu and Caribbean man from the Torres Strait. And I'm also the son of the designer of the Torres Strait Islander flag, Bernard Namok Sr., and an advocate for the First Peoples Disability Network. Join me now on Yarning Disability as we showcase First Nations people living with a disability, as well as their families and carers, and other industry professionals.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are warned that the following podcast may contain the voices and names of people who are deceased. The First Peoples Disability Network and the producers of this podcast recognise the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders past, present, and the future leaders of tomorrow. FPDN would like to acknowledge our founding elders and their lasting legacy, Uncle Lester Bostock and Auntie Gal Rankin, and acknowledge all First Peoples living with a disability.
For families living up in the Torres Strait, Northern Peninsula area and surrounding places around Cairns that need advice with NDIS, or if you have questions about NDIS, how to go about getting on NDIS, there is a support service based in Cairns that can answer all your questions. Yumi Support offers not only your questions about NDIS, but it also offers cultural activities, one-on-one with youth participants, community access to home care. Yumi Support's motto is, doesn't matter what background you are, we are one. Hello, my name is Bernard Namok Jr. I'm an advocate for First Peoples Disability Network. On today's episode of Yarning Disability, I sat down with Karim Yorkston at his home in Cairns and had a yarn about his support service. Karim is a Bardo Island man living in Cairns and seen a need to start up a support service for his people to take the pressure off families travelling down from the islands to Cairns for medical needs. Karim has been through trials and tribulation and made a change. He thinks by doing this can help others with better choices. And just a heads up, the following conversation may contain some coarse language.
Oh, my name is Karim Yorkston from Badu. Moved to Cairns 2010. A bit about me. Oh, where can I start?
Tell me about your journey from what made you wanted to be, I guess, where you are now today.
Oh, okay. I went through a bad breakup back 2014, maybe 15, can't remember when. That made me rethink life, choose whether to take, there was two parts. I had to make a choice, it was drugs and alcohol what I was doing back then, or make a better choice and try and do better in life. So I picked the health and fitness side, and which made me realize a lot about me than anything else. Doing that, I've lost friends and I've made new friends. It was a tough 12 months of doing what I did back then. But it was the best decision I ever made. When I was on the islands, I was 220, maybe 230 kilos. Moved away, tried to better myself, but I still had the same mindset, just drinking, partying. But I finally made that choice and stepped into what I was doing, which was the health and fitness, and I stopped. I haven't drank ever since. I haven't been to a nightclub ever since. Since then, I've lost 110 kilos. You know, as a teenager on the island, it's always had the same excuse. It's too hard, I don't want to do it. Peer pressure from friends. But I, yeah, just thought I'd stop all of that and try it, and I did. I tried several times, failed. Probably 3 or 4 times, tried it, went good for 2 weeks, stopped. Did it again, stopped. Then I met one of my brothers, Ryan, who now lives up in TI running a boxing club. I just asked him what I can do to stay motivated, and yeah, so Ryan said maybe do a charity boxing event. I did that. That was actually Australia Day in Mackay. I had a chat to him. We locked it in that same day. From Australia Day to April 1st, I lost 45 kilos. And after that fight, I always said, I'm gonna continue what I'm doing and have one amateur fight. So I continued to do what I did. I lost 101 kilos. I lost 101 to that date, and I did my first Cairns Post write-up. Then I continued, lost a total of 110, and I decided to have my first fight. From that day, I had about 14 fights. I've done Golden Gloves, and from the start till that day, I've met a lot of good, positive people. And that's where I ended up in the industry, working with kids from grade 4 up to grade 7, from Cairns West Primary School to Bentley Park High School. One of my mates did an outreach program. My mate is Jesse Martin, actually, through Streets Movements. His slogan was what really got to me: fight today for a better tomorrow. And I volunteered to help him with his outreach program with the kids twice a week, come down to the gym, and yeah, the kids were bad. They were bad kids, and they were first-hand witness to domestic violence, drug and alcohol abuse at home, and they took that behavior to school. It was kids from all walks of life. There were boys, girls, there was everyone. They came down with the caseworker. Some even came down with police. Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing, but I stayed with Jesse. I've learned from Jesse, and yeah, it was good. I think it was the best thing I've ever done for a work-wise. It was the best thing I've ever done. Something that I talk about every day, especially since I started with NDIS. And what I've done back then, I still use today with my work. If you can see here, this is my...
This is sort of like an office. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boxing and training.
Yeah, this is fitness. I bring kids here, clients here. I do everything here. Yeah. So that's why this is sort of my space here.
So it's mainly kids.
Kids. I love kids. I started with kids. And the kids I've done with Jesse, I knew the parents. They were nothing like that in high school. Because I went to high school with them, and they weren't drinking in high school. They were respectful. They were lovely. They were good friends back then, and seeing the kids today, when I found out who their parent was, I was like, shit. Yeah, my heart sunk. Sort of making me want to cry, because knowing the parents from back then, the way we grew up, and yeah, I can still picture today, like, it was good. First thing we've done is, like, we all sat in a circle, white kids, black kids, doesn't matter who you were, sat in a circle with me and Jesse, and we basically just asked them where they're from, who their mob was, and yeah, that's how it started. Didn't go to plan at start, but yeah, in time, they're good. They didn't know how to say please, thank you. They had no, yeah, they were swearing, teachers, please, they didn't care.
And then over time, you've kind of seen changes with them.
Yeah, so we did actually boxing training. This is probably gonna be, with child safety, you can do this, but we basically said, you guys take a step back, this is what we do, this is why we do this, and yeah, so we sort of, they did actually full-on boxing training with us, and they did everything, punching the back to sparring me and Jesse to everything. Some were crying due to the sparring, some were everything, people just, it was good. In time, they slowly started arguing each other, shaking hands, saying thank you, saying please. They started smiling, their behavior changed. And within 6 weeks, everything went really well.
And then, like, when you see changes or a little bit of stuff like that where them kids, they interact with each other, like, how you feel?
Oh, it's rewarding. It's like, come home, you smile, knowing that you help someone. When you smile, you go to bed happy, you wake up good, and you want to go back. And I enjoyed it so much where I actually took unpaid leave from a full-time job just to do that. And that sacrifice actually, it's paying off today for me. My approach to this industry, NDIS, with kids and adults, physical and mental, is exactly the same the way I've approached my weight loss, to boxing, to those kids. Today, I have a passion to working with kids. I can't see myself doing anything else.
And that's, I guess, the support service that you got today, was it because of your journey and your experience?
My experience with, I was with five other organizations that policies, which I respect, all of that I respect, but people come to us for us to care for them. We are not their bosses, we are not their law enforcement officers, we are just carers. We are support workers at the end of the day, and that's why they come to us. You gotta, as an organization, if you true to what you do, and if you are about true quality of care, then money shouldn't be a factor. You need to be able to be in a loss at times. And that's what I believe in, that's my belief. Money shouldn't matter when you come to caring for people. If you have to pay an extra $10 to do something, I do it. I pay out of my own money just to do stuff because I'm there for the client. That's why I do it, yeah. This true quality of care. That's my thing. Doesn't matter what you do, female, male, kids, there's ways around everything. And yeah, it's the best thing I've done. And I don't know where I'll end up in the next 6 months after this, but I've started this for... I've only started working with, engaging with clients probably 3 weeks now. But I left my last organization December 12th. I left, did a few phone calls, came home and sat down in here. And yeah, I just started drifting. What can I do? Because I honestly, deep down inside, I know things can be better for clients. There's a lot of things can be better. Respect towards staff can be better. If there's poor management towards staff, staff will treat clients poorly due to poor management. I know that because I used to manage about 106 staff at my last organization. I was a program coordinator, team leader, the rostering, I was, all the meetings I was doing, you name it, I've done, pretty much done it. Yeah, that's why I'm here today. And yeah, I'm gonna go back a bit, sorry. When I first did that thing with Jesse, it was Christmas and I went to the shop. As I was walking, something grabbed me from behind, and when I looked down at this one of the kids, his island kid, the mom well, and the dad, he looked at me with the biggest smile and he said hello, and that's when I'm like, fuck, I better leave aviation. That was a Friday. Monday I was working with a company in NDIS, and yeah, so quick, and I'm not looking back, and the best thing I've done, that one moment seeing the kid smile.
We kind of change your whole perspective now.
I knew that I could do good with NDIS, and I knew nothing about the industry. All I knew was kids. I knew nothing about no autism, Down syndrome. I knew nothing about that. I didn't know what I was walking into, and yeah, my first client called the police on me because I was black. And he was throwing stubbies at me, but yeah, I stayed with him. Ended up doing 3 back-to-back sleepovers with him. And even today, we still talk. We message me, say hello, and that's it, yeah. He has his own support, but we catch up, say hello.
Wow.
Even still today, and yeah.
So it's like important where you have to gain the trust
of... You have
to
gain trust, no matter what. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are with your people skills. And the clients are stupid. It doesn't matter what the disability is. I'm gonna put it out there. They know what they want. If you don't gain their trust and respect, then you shouldn't be working with that client. You are good, you are, look how many years experience you have. You shouldn't be working with clients if you can't gain their trust and respect.
to talk to me about the support service that you've been started up? It's fairly new.
It's only a couple of weeks old. I'll start with the name. The name is from the Torres Straits. It calls YUMI Support Services. I know there's different ways of spelling it. I spoke to the councillor on Badu and spoke to a few of the elders. This about the same thing. How can I spell it? But I needed something that can catch the wider audience in Cairns, like it's around Queensland and wherever it goes, so people can understand it and knows what it means. So I just went with YUMI, U-M-E. So it pretty much means YUMI. And the way you pronounce that, that's what it means. Everything I post, everything I do on the service agreements, I put on there on the business card, I put on the back, YUMI with our, and that pretty much says, doesn't matter what background you are, we are one. So that's what it sort of means. And yes, that's why I went with that name. It just, yeah.
And like some families, the entrepreneur alone can kind of interpret that like the one-on-one support.
One-on-one support, yeah. So yeah, the families up there, we had a lot of phone calls actually from families from everywhere up home just about NDIS. And knowing what they can use it for, knowing what's NDIS. So that's why I take phone calls every day with stuff like that, and yeah, it's good.
And I think that's what families, the entrepreneur in need too, are like, to know more about what NDIS and other, I guess, like other things we involve with NDIS.
And yeah, I don't think family knows what's it for. All the phone calls I had, I don't know. They don't know what NDIS is for. They don't know what it is. They just told they send the NDIS. That's all they've been told. They don't know what they can use it for. They don't know anything. They don't know anything about it.
Do you think that there should be more awareness, especially within our people, the entrepreneur island,
yes,
about services and what they play do?
There should be a lot more. There should be a lot more done for Indigenous people in communities, the islands, to make them understand NDIS and all of that. Example, I've got a referral to see this client. Out of prison, living on the streets, sleeps on his auntie's, or his sister's veranda, and he knew nothing about NDIS at all. My first approach when I went to see him, he was, he told me to leave, but I stayed there, said hello, and I asked him where he's from. He said he was from L. And yeah, I sat beside him. He got up, said hello, shook my hands, then I let him be. They went back every second day. Now today he understands what it's for. He understands why, and with engaging, how do you support and everything, and what he can use his plan for. And due to that, he might be not going back to prison. He does have a lot of charges against him today, and he has his court date today, so yeah. But he's been engaging, he's been good. He has no ID, no bank card, he has nothing at all. And now he has his MyGov, he's on his DSP. We do 8 hours a week. He's good, he's been really good. He engages, he waits for me, he goes to his mental health meetings and stuff. Things have been good.
There's not much support services, especially for families, island support services.
There's none. So I'm a big believer in, to make a change to someone, you got to start with the family as well, especially with kids. Or if an adult living with the family, if you can't engage with the family, there's no point engaging with the participant because you won't get anywhere. I've actually engaged with the family as well, as a participant, with everyone I do. I make time for the family. Doesn't matter if it's out of my own time. I make time, and yeah, things go good with that. Because you engage with the family, you help the family, then you help the client, and things get done.
So why do you think it's important to engage with the family?
Family is everything. Family is everything, no matter who you are, no matter what they go through, family is everything. Even if the clients are in a good state with the family, if they see you engaging with the family, you will gain their respect and they will come around. the air. But nothing will ever happen in a day or a week. You just got to do it properly, the right approach, and family is everything.
So if families like, you know, listening to this, Jan, want to know more about what you do, like how can they go about finding all that information?
I'm creating a website. I only got Facebook at the moment. Want to go slow, really, really slow. I'm not in a rush to do anything to grow. I'm all about quality over quantity. I'm big about true quality care. So that's me. I'm going to go slow, but what I can do, I'll do. I do have a team with me, male and female, all indigenous. My numbers is all over Facebook. I do a lot of promoting in Cairns, driving around, giving stuff out. Supports I do could be anything. If you're coming from the communities, coming from the islands, it all depends. It's all up to you. Whatever you guys want, we can do. So it's basically up to you to help the family, help the participant. It's all up to you. If you guys have to come down for doctors or family stuff and you got someone in the system, give me a call. And if you guys, I'll do what I can. I'll communicate with you, the family, and the coordinator. And yeah.
So is there any message that you want to send for families?
Oh, that's hard one. Yeah. I think I'll be honest. With indigenous family, I want to speak from my own experience again. My own within the industry and my. Use your funding properly. Use it properly. Don't let people speak over you with your funding, and don't let them take advantage of it. Use it properly, and yeah, don't be afraid to speak up. You have a voice, and that's why I really did what I did. I've heard a lot of people speak, talk, but no one was being heard, especially clients. Even a motto when I said in my last organization, when they asked me what's a good, you know, thing to promote for something, I'm like, well, with me personally, I hear you and they see you. Because when staff call me and they struggle, I listen to them. And when I see them struggle, I approach them and I help them. And I got laughed at. But I think that's just the way us indigenous people are. We like to help people. We just have that respect for others. And I got laughed at that. Like, no, yeah. And that's why I've spoken up. I walked out. Like, I wasn't a good, like, I'll be honest again, with money, a contract was good. And I didn't care about money. Money didn't care. Money didn't faze me. I don't care. Just helping people. And yeah, that's what I believe. That's me. That's my values. My values didn't sit. And I said to some of my mates, I was born with nothing, I'm going to die with, like, you know, I'm going to go alone. And all I can do today is do my best with the clients I get and I have. That's all I can do. That's all I can really do. And like I've been vocal about this for a long time. This industry is very big but very small. It is a massive but very, very, very small industry. Everyone knows each other. There's a lot that if people come together, we can make a change for the better for people in the industry, staff and participants. I know I can make a change alone. I know that. It's going to be impossible for me to make a change. But all I can do is when I get a referral, when I get a client, when I get a phone call, all I can do is help that person the best of my ability with whatever they want to do. Achieve their goals, working towards anything. I've done a lot. Even being a role model to kids that didn't grow up with fathers, I've done that as well. One of my first clients, again, he's my client today. I met him back in high school. I took him out of high school, did his resume, took him to his formal, did his formal shopping. Dad wasn't there. And now today he has a brand new car. He has his dream job working in a pub. So we've done all of that together, and I'm close with the family. The whole family, I met the whole family. He met my whole family. And that's what I believe in, and that's why I named my little business what I named it. because it's all of us, not just the two of us, it's all of us. It's, we are one here. And yeah, even today with kids, another thing, the family tried everything they did, counseling, you name it, all they were told is just give a mark, all they need is time. But they damaged the room. Their mom goes through a lot, like she sent a message today of what happened, but maybe pick up them today. And they stopped all the counseling and everything, and all we do is what we do. We do a lot of couple activities. That's why all of that, there's still the coconut on the side. We take them out, get coconuts. And this area is my one little spot.
Workspace.
Yeah, it's like the little safe haven for even me. This is where I come in. I spend most of my time in here. On the gym. That's my dog fridge. My dog's always in here. My little dog, that's my little support dog. He comes with clients with me everywhere. And I want to be different. I know I can be different. I think with my experience and what I've been through, what I've learned, I have a lot more to learn within the industry, and I know I can be different now. If someone ever said in this industry they've learned everything, then just walk away from them. One thing I've learned with escalation, this whole industry, it is different. And that's why I said I approach it like boxing. Each fight you approach it different. Each punch you approach it different. And same thing, each escalation, different disability, physical, mental, you gotta approach it different. You might experience the same thing three times in a row, then you come for the fourth time, you're gonna approach it exactly the same for the previous three, it's gonna be different again. That's why boxing is my... boxing probably saved my life, and I've used it a lot with several clients, and it's a thing for me today that I turn back to a lot. And I do it with everyone, male, female, old, young, people in wheelchair, everything, you name it, I use boxing. Doesn't matter what, I use boxing for everything. But that's just me and my belief, and people have their own ways of doing and approaching it, but this works for me and this is the way I do it. This is the biggest issue for me within Cairns, because I haven't been elsewhere with the industry. I'm going to speak on the cultural side. I know a lot of people, they advertise, they do cultural stuff. They preach it. They try and do a lot of cultural stuff, but they really don't. Cultural awareness is a big thing no one does in Cairns. No one actually do physical one-on-one, like in a group, cultural awareness training. They all do it online, and I think that's really disrespectful towards Indigenous people. Because Google will not tell me about my culture. I'm sorry. Google, people turn back, but yeah. No internet, no Google will tell me anything about my culture. Culture is experience, culture is this knowledge, and you gotta pass that stuff down. Google can tell me how to approach a client. Me, I'm from the islands, I can go to Yarrabah. I can walk and approach people in Yarrabah like I do from the islands. You can't. And a lot of people this is actually a fact, a lot of people in Cairns don't do that. Again, the last organization I was with, myself, a couple other staff members set up the company to do cultural awareness before we take on this client. One of the respite bus from Cairns went to Yarrabah to pick him up, but the family knew it was a bus for respite and they refused. I got the phone call to go and pick him up or get someone to pick him up, so I got a good friend of mine to pick him up. And some of the workers came in the office and said, we have to do cultural awareness now. And they didn't want to do it. So a few weeks later, I came over and I had to do my job. And I did engage with the client because he was in a bad way with his health. He was on blood thinners. His blood sugar was 23 plus every day. Every time he checked it, like he was having 10 sugar in his coffee. He wasn't in a good state. But I don't know families and people from Arab. I don't know the way they do stuff, and I'm going to be completely honest. And everything I did, I always do a phone. I give someone a phone call from Arab that I know, just for advice. Because I don't want to disrespect them or anyone, or their culture. So I did call them, ask for advice, and everything actually went down good until someone decided, and they were probably hiding the client from families. I'm going to put that straight out there. So families of this client actually went for a drive and seen this client in a park, and I got the phone call to attend, and families from Maribor rocked up with 3 car loads full of people, the boys. And yeah, so I just took a step back because there was kids there. It was in a local park, there was kids and all of that, so they took them back home and they haven't seen them ever since. And that's why people should do the cultural stuff properly and show respect back to each different culture and do it properly. Not online, not Google, I don't care, not paper. People need to do it properly, organizations need to do it properly. That should be a mandatory task to do cultural awareness. If that can change, I'd be happy. I would love for that to change. Even up on the islands, when I was working up in TI with the council, we had the elders come in and did cultural with us up there. They were talking about the flag Dad did, they were everything, and it was good. And that's what I said down here, like even up home, the elders come in and talk to us. And there was even people older than the people doing cultural awareness training. But we all had to do it no matter what. And I even mentioned them down here, it doesn't matter who do it. You can't get this one person to come in and do it. You got Torres Strait, you got, like, you know, we want people. The stories and everything's a bit different to understand. And a lot of people didn't want to believe that and do that. And it was all back to Google. I'm not going to do that,
It's like, especially for here in Cairns, you have to show that respect to different tribes too.
No one does it. It's a didgeridoo. This is a good example. I was sitting on the couch with myself and I said to the big boss, turn around, I want to talk to you. And I had a green female, what do you call them? Blouse, with me. And it was a green one. I think these are from Malmo's up in TI. There was like a tribal design. There was turtle. It was green, yellow, white with black writing, whatever. And I used that as an example, and I showed everyone in the office, like, this represents the company we have with us today. We have PNG, Torres Strait, Aboriginal, Indigenous, and we have Samoan, Cook Island, Tongans. And we all work for this company, all of us, all cultures. This shirt represents all of us. I'm like, you put all of us in a room, give us 5 minutes, come back, you don't think we'll be like family. We all do the same thing. I'm like, I'm Samoan, a family from back in the day, Pearling Day, came from Samoa back. And like, you know, we won. We got the same culture. Our stories are different. We eat the same food. We do the same cultural stuff, like weaving. I even said, like, why don't you show some respect back to all of us and let's do some cultural stuff. But no, all he did was call his mate about a didgeridoo. When I said to him, didgeridoo is not from Queensland, it's from the NT. I'm like, you need to understand stuff like that. That's where you're doing it wrong again. And a week later, I got up and I left my organization. Did a lot of thinking, spoke to a few people, and after I venture out this year and try and make a change to people's life for the better. Not the industry, because I know it's impossible, but I know I can help people, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's my ultimate goal. Kids, adults, I don't really care. Females, male. It's only old people. At this age, I don't know what my part is. I'm still trying to put everything together. My main goal is getting into a routine. The business side, understanding the business side. That's my main goal. So from now till the new financial, I'm just going to go slow and try to get everything together. Once a new financial year comes in, I'll sit down with certain people and we're going to put it out there, and I have a plan. But there's a few things I really want to do. Cultural activity is one. That's going to be number one. Participant transportation back to the Cape, to all communities up to the Cape. Taking disability equipment back if people can do it. Doing STA and respite back if they come down here. Like, I can provide that. I can provide that support. Or if I have to take participant back home to families, I can do that as well. Even from the islands, like, I know our family have to come down all the time with people for doctor's appointments. I can do that as well. I can be in home care, even for school, taking kids to school, on the first day. Families can make it. I can provide support like for that as well. I have young staff to the one. I have someone who's poor. She's in the 50s. Like, they have staff from a wide range of ages, and it's all indigenous. Everyone is indigenous. I do all the paperwork myself.
Mm.
I do all the phone calls. I just get people together, and I want to open doors for other people as well. I want to create opportunities for everyone, especially indigenous people, get them up and get them going again. Because I think a lot of people know me and what I've been through. They know me as a teenager up in the islands. And if I can do this right, do it properly, hopefully I can motivate people to get up, get out there, and really, like what they see every day is not what they see. You got to step outside of your comfort zone and try. And hopefully with me doing this, can actually create opportunities for other people. I want to help people, that's my main goal. And if I can collab with other people, other organizations, I'll do that. I'll do whatever to help people within this industry. Anyone, and I mean that anyone. That's me, that's who I am. I can talk all day, but like true quality of care is my big thing, respect and pursue quality over quantity. That's one of the biggest mistakes. I know big organizations made making kids. They try to quantity over quality. And when that happens, then we cannot provide good quality support for your clients, for the clients that we have. I got asked the other day, what's my ultimate goal? Like, if I'm thinking about money, I always say I don't think about money. Because if you pursue quality over quantity, and you show true quality of care, and you follow that with respect, everything else behind you will come. Money will always be lost on the table. But if everything at the start get done properly, do it properly, money will come. So I don't care about money. If I can care for people, help people, then everything will flow. And that's me today. That's where I'm at.
That was Badu Island man Karim Yorkston talking about his journey, about his health, mental and well-being, and about his support service, Yumi Support. You can search him up and follow his Facebook page, Yumi Support. That's Yumi, U-M-E, Support Services.
Thanks for listening to Yarning Disability. FPDN would like to thank you for coming on this journey, as each week we hear from First Peoples living with a disability and shine a light on the issues they are facing. I'm your host, Bernard Namok Jr. Follow FPDN on our social media accounts to stay up to date with future episodes and information. You can also visit our website at www.fpdn.org.au.